You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, it's said that we can do just about anything we put our minds to if we get the right support. And when you're living with a visual impairment, this is so important. Well, sight loss charity RNIB recently received a lovely letter of thanks from Ella Shipley, who has been studying for a degree in health and social care at Nottingham Trent University. And it began as follows. Dear RNIB, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for providing not only myself with so much support and continuing to do so, but my parents, family and everyone else I know and I will meet. Now, I think you'll agree that's such a lovely opening for a letter. And Ella joins me now on the line. Hi, Ella.
Hi.
That's an absolutely lovely start to the letter. Now, I've had a read at the letter and it's beautiful. The thing is, from it, good support has been really important for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about you, because you've got a visual impairment, as I've alluded to. Is it nystagmus you have?
Yeah, so I have nystagmus. I've had it from birth, so yeah, 21 years of my life, basically.
And how does that affect you, then?
It affects me in sort of everyday activities. So, say, for example, if I'm out, it affects things like my perception. So if I'm crossing the road, I might not see a car come up until it's like a few metres away from me, or reading signs. I can't drive, unfortunately, so I have to rely on public transport, and yeah, just sort of doing things out and about, but I'm quite independent, so.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? We like to keep our independence, but sometimes we're our own worst enemies.
Yeah.
By getting on the wrong buses and things like that, because that has its own kind of challenges, isn't it? Trying to get the right transport as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've had that many times where I've sort of think, am I on the right bus? So I just sort of have to ask people, and people are quite helpful. And like, I've travelled to London occasionally. I've had to get the tube on my own and things like that. So people have been helpful in that respect when I've been unsure. So, but no. Try to be as independent as I can, really.
So tell us a little bit about university then. What kind of support did you receive from RNIB?
So I applied for the DSA, which is, if people don't know, it's the Disabled Student Allowance. So I had a needs assessment before I came to university, and they spoke to me about my condition, and then we looked at things that could potentially help me. So in terms of my own support, I had an ergonomic chair, because I also have cerebral palsy as well, so that I've got mobility issues and things like that. And in terms of my nystagmus, I had a laptop with software on it, so I had something called read and write. So when I was writing my assignments and essays and things like that, it would read out what I was writing. So I could almost listen back and think, oh, there's a spelling mistake there, or I could almost proofread my work as I was going along. I had a bigger monitor as well, so if my eyes were quite tired or if I needed a bigger screen to read things on, and like books and things like that, I could plug it into my laptop, move it so to where I could see it, and then I could read off a bigger monitor. I also had like non-medical support. So I had a mentor, so I'd see her maybe once, twice a week, and we'd go through, so she could help me with like reading feedback if I was unsure, or reading resources. So especially with my dissertation, that was a lot of work, trying to read journal articles and books and finding the key points and then putting that into my actual dissertation. And then also I had like mobility support, so orientation during freshers, and I also stayed in halls of residence throughout my 3 years, just for ease really, because in Nottingham it's quite essential where I was. I was on the city campus, so everything was quite central and I knew where everything was, so yeah, that was easy for me really.
And I suppose going away to live at university, that has its own sort of pressures, doesn't it, you know, when you want to remain independent?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah.
Was that the first time you've actually stayed away for any length of time from home?
Yeah, it was the longest I've stayed away from home. Yeah, I've been away from home like obviously for like maybe a month tops, but 3 years is a long time. So yeah, that was the longest period of time I've been away from home.
And what about your mum and dad then? Because they must worry about you when you're away. Because I think mum and dad just want to protect you, don't they?
Yeah. Well, we obviously kept in regular contact because I've got siblings as well. I've got an older brother and a twin sister, so we're all sort of doing our own thing. So we all sort of keep in regular contact, so it wasn't like I wasn't speaking to them for any length of time. So I just, you know, they'd always check in and be like, oh, you know, how's your day been? Or, you know, are you doing okay? For, you know, and they'd always check on me, but I wouldn't see it as, oh, they're worrying. They just wanted to see how I am. But yeah, I'm sure it's nerve wracking when your child goes to uni.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's the you know, if you're the child, you don't want them to worry. So sometimes you tell them everything's all right. But when you've got support behind you, then it's good that you can do that. What did you write your dissertation on?
So my dissertation was actually about visual impairment and disability in higher education and like accessing things. So like I did write about the DSA, and it was based on what had already been written. So it was more like going through the literature and saying, okay, for example, I looked at studies around visual impairment in a UK uni, and they sort of said that most students are happy, but there's needs for improvement. And I had to sort of make like recommendations and say what could maybe be improved in terms of legislation. And so, yeah, it was interesting. And obviously I could focus on my own experiences, not in the dissertation itself. I could sort of say, okay, that's something I went through also. So it was kind of good to look at it and think something does actually need to be improved on. Yeah, that's good. And it, you know, so yeah, it was interesting. And hopefully I've got a good grade for it. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. How important do you think is it raising awareness? Because I'd imagine, you know, fellow students and some of your teachers, they will obviously have worked with some people with a visual impairment, but mm-hmm. I think sometimes we assume that people should know much more and be much more aware than they actually are.
Yeah, I think it's really important just to even having an initial chat with people. Like, for example, at the beginning of each year of uni, I would go and speak to each teacher individually and just say, look, this is my condition, this is what I need help with, can you sort of get it in place? And they were like, yeah, that's fine. So, you know, even sort of telling them about what nice language is or how it affects me, I think it helps them as well as it helps me. So yeah, I think it's really good.
Yeah, I think they probably feel good that they're doing all they can to actually support you to get through it.
Yeah, definitely.
And I noticed that you've been doing some public speaking, I see.
Yeah, so it all sort of started in high school when I did some assemblies about disability awareness. So it's quite nerve-wracking, but I enjoy it. So yeah.
Yeah, it's like a cold swimming pool, isn't it? It's not so bad once you're in.
Yeah, definitely. No, once you get used to it, you're fine.
And fundraising, you've been doing some of that as well.
Yeah, so I fundraised mainly for a charity called HemiHelp. I don't know if you're aware of them. They support people with hemiplegia, which is the type of cerebral palsy that I've got. So I've done things like, you know, your standard cake sales, car boot sales. I also did a sponsored swim, I think it was 2 years ago now. So yeah, that was like a big one. And I hope to do some more in the future.
And is that important to you?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
In what way?
I think I'd just like to give something back, and also I think I'd be quite interested in a career in fundraising, so it's kind of nice to see both sides of it, I think.
Yeah, because I think that's the thing that some people aren't aware of, that the actual fundraising, perhaps you're doing, I don't know, a run or something like that, mm-hmm. that's hard enough, but the actual other side of organising it and sponsorship, that's quite taxing as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get into that. And volunteering, is that something that you would do as well?
Yeah, so I've only currently just started volunteering again for the RNIB in Leeds. But last year I did an internship in the London office. That was with the community fundraising team. So I did a month there. And then I'm currently volunteering in Leeds 1 day a week doing a similar thing with the fundraising team. So yeah, it's really good to sort of see, you know, how everything is sort of done behind the scenes and like contacting fundraisers and people like that, and just to sort of see how it all runs and things like that. It's really interesting.
And sometimes it's surprising, isn't it, how much it costs to actually provide some of the support services?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
What are your plans for the future then?
At the minute, I'm sort of just looking for a job in anything really, but I think my ultimate goal is to work in the charity sector. So yeah, that's what I'm working towards.
Well, your letter was lovely and it was very gratefully received. I say thank you on behalf of RNIB. Ella Shipley, onwards and upwards. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
No worries.
Take care.
Thank you.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.